In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, that instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Father Lanteri.
Pray for us.
Saint Ignatius.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
The Lord be with you. Read it from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road broad that leads to destruction. And those who enter through it are many. How narrow the gate and constricted the road that leads to life. And those who find it are few." The Gospel of the Lord. What I'd like to do is start by reading a few more numbers. We can go to 125. I'm going to read three numbers and develop the talk from these numbers. 125. All these things could still be endured. When the Lord demanded that I should paint that picture, they began to speak openly about me and to regard me as a hysteric and a fantasist. And the rumors began to grow louder. One of the sisters came to talk to me in private. She began by pitying me and said, "I've heard them say that you are a fantasist, sister, that you have been having visions." "My poor sister, defend yourself in this matter." She was a sincere soul, and she told me sincerely what she had heard. But I had to listen to such things every day. God only knows how tiring it was. Yet I resolved to bear everything in silence and to give no explanations when I was questioned. Some were irritated by my silence, especially those who were more curious. Others who reflected more deeply said, "Sister Faustina must be very close to God if she has the strength to bear so much suffering." It was as if I were facing two groups of judges. I strove after interior and exterior silence. I said nothing about myself, even though I was questioned directly by some sisters. My lips were sealed. I suffered like a dove, without complaint. But some sisters seemed to find pleasure in vexing me in whatever way they could. My patience irritated them, but God gave me so much inner strength that I endured it calmly. I learned that I would have help from no one at such moments, and I started to pray and beg the Lord for a confessor. My only desire was that some priest would say this one word to me: be at peace, you're on the right road, or reject all this, for it does not come from God. But I could not find such a priest who was sufficiently sure of himself to give me a definite opinion in the name of the Lord. And so the uncertainty continued. O Jesus, if it is your will that I live in such uncertainty, may your name be blessed. I beg you, Lord, direct my soul yourself and be with me, for of myself I am nothing. Okay, I'm going to continue from these three numbers on the topic that I started last week, and it's the topic of spiritual direction. And a lot of the ideas that I'm taking are from this book, Seeking Spiritual Direction, How to Grow the Divine Life Within, Father Thomas Dubé. Last week, I spent the hour basically going through the topics or areas of special need in spiritual direction. This week, I'd like to go through, according to Father Thomas Dubé, who was probably one of the most experienced spiritual directions in the country for 50 years, so we're talking about a real expert. And as we mentioned more than once, all of us should try to have some type of spiritual direction in our lives. All of us, if you're coming to the Oblate Parish, you've done the spiritual exercises, you know St. Ignatius, you can't make it by yourself. That's St. Ignatius. That's Teresa of Avila. That's John of La Crosse. So the experts say that... I read three numbers where St. Faustina is in total confusion and desolation because she doesn't, as of yet, have spiritual direction. And this is a holy nun. So if this holy nun could not interpret God's will for her, what about us? I don't think most of us have arrived at transforming union yet, probably not. So I'd like to go through now certain questions that come up in spiritual direction. Now, wouldn't it be a bad idea to take notes? And then, so when you pursue spiritual direction, we have some lay people who are on the way to arriving at being spiritual directors. This talk is also directed at the future lay directors. Okay? We've got a handful of them with us tonight. Okay, ready? Okay, number one, we're talking about things that surface in spiritual direction. Now I'm going to write down what Father Dubé wrote, the general idea then. In my preparation of this talk, I actually wrote down an example. So he gives a theory, and I'm going to write down an example of it. So he doesn't give the example, so I'm going to try to fill in the gaps. Okay, number one. You're in spiritual direction. Interpersonal problems. Interpersonal problems. Okay, that's kind of generic. Kind of general. So I'd like to get down to brass tacks. Okay, interpersonal problems. An example. You make the spiritual exercises. Okay, and your husband's on a totally different wavelength. And as a result of the spiritual exercise, there's a conflict between you. Okay, here we probably have 50% of you people are married. Okay, for those who are not married, you're living in a family with your mother or your father or a sister or an aunt. You've done the spiritual exercises. And they think that you are crazy. Okay, you're crazy. You're getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning. You're spending an hour in prayer. You're going to daily mass. You're praying a rosary. You're praying two rosaries. You're praying three rosaries. Friday night, instead of going out and having fun, you're going to Father Broom's perseverance class. You are absolutely nuts. Okay, that's one example out of many. Or interpersonal problem might be, you have problems at work. Any of you work? You go to work and they think you're crazy. You're a loony toony. That is chiflada, chiflada. That's an interpersonal problem that comes as a result of your growing in your faith and living in a pagan world and living in a pagan family too. So that is something that's something that can be part of spiritual direction. Because if you don't resolve that problem with your husband, you're always living in tension and you're not going to be able to, you can't pray well. So you want to talk that out with an experienced spiritual director to see, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Because if you're married, you're not going to be in the same spiritual wavelength as your husband, most likely. Maybe you are, but it's usually not that way. Okay, so that's the first. This is a list that is found in the book I already mentioned. So I copied it from the book, and I'm filling in the gaps. Now, I'll give you an example, you have tension with your husband. He's making fun of you. Resentment is building up. You go to pray and you can't seem to pray because you've allowed resentment to come into your heart. And that's blocking your conversation with God. That's interpersonal problems. Okay, number two. This is Father Thomas Dubay. Ordinary prayer questions. Okay, myself as a spiritual director for many years, okay, these would be three of the most common things that surface in with respect to prayer. Distractions, dryness, and temptations. Those are the three biggies that I notice. Distractions. You're praying, you get distracted. What are you going to do? All of you have distractions. Story of Saint Bernard, he's talking with a man, and Saint Bernard says, I've got some distractions. And his friend said, well, I never have any distractions. I was a born mystic. So Saint Bernard says, well, I'll tell you. I'll give you my horse if you can say one Our Father without a distraction. The man said, I always wanted a horse. So he kneels down and he starts the Our Father saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Will you give me also the saddle with the horse? Okay. Okay, distractions, dryness. You pray and it seems as if nothing's happening. Your good spiritual director is going to tell you what that is, where that's coming from, and how to cope with it. Okay, temptations. During the temptation, during the prayer period, you got temptations. That's common too. St. Catherine of Siena, when she was making her holy hour, she sometimes had temptations against chastity in front of the Blessed Sacrament. This is St. Catherine of Siena. It's probably a good sign. Because the devil, the temptation comes from the devil, he's trying to disturb you so that you'll give up prayer. You say, Ahmed, the exercise, and I still get these ugly thoughts, that means my prayer is basically, it's a sham. It's a put-on. It's a facade. Now, if you don't have proper spiritual direction, you can be tempted just to give up. So this is another topic, is ordinary prayer questions. Next would be contemplative prayer. Moving from a more discursive prayer where you're doing a lot of reading, and you're thinking, you're drawing conclusions, then you're making applications to a prayer that's more simplified, where your heart, where there is the dormition of the intellect. The intellect is working less, and the heart is working more. That's the normal process of growth in the prayer life according to Saint Teresa of Avila, is that the mind becomes less active and the heart becomes more dominant. Now a few people are taking your prayer life serious, you should be in that stage where you don't want to read so much, but you want to spend more time in which your heart is engaged with letting the Lord love you. And you love the Lord. And you thank the Lord. And you praise the Lord. You should, if you're praying seriously, a lot of you should be in that stage right now. But unless you have adequate spiritual direction, you're not going to know that. You're not going to know that. You have to be educated. Educated by preaching, but also by one-on-one spiritual direction. Okay, another topic. Okay, vocational issues. Vocational issues. Now most of you are adults and you've already decided your vocation, but many of you have children who have not made that decision. So this might apply to you, but if not, it will apply to your children or your grandchildren. So your vocational decision is by far the most important decision you're going to make in your life. I say in this country, the three most important decisions would be, number one, where are you going to go to college? Number two, what's your major going to be? And number three, what is your vocation going to be? In this country, in a first world country like the United States, I'd say that those are the big three. Because if you choose the wrong college, you can lose your faith. And if you go to the right college, you have to try to discern what is your major going to be, which means what is your profession going to be. Then even more important than that is your vocation. Now I speak of a vocation, it could be the following. The single vocation. Not all people are called to get married. Not for everyone. But then the married vocation. Most people are. Most people are called to the married life, but most people choose the wrong person. We're laughing at that, but it's true. Most people, you know, they don't choose the right person. No? It's just based on an appearance and not based upon what the person, the very heart of who the person is. And that results in what? Separation and divorce. And wounded children. Then also, religious vocation. Some are called to be religious. Other called to what is called a secular institute. Have you ever heard of that? Secular institute would be a person that's consecrated in the world, making vows, but not living in a convent. It's called a secular institute. Then others are called to a double vocation. What does that mean? Never heard that one before, huh? I have a double vocation. I am a priest, but also I'm a religious at the same time. So I have a double vocation. I'm an oblate of the Virgin Mary, but I'm a Catholic priest. So there's a double vocation there. You go to St. Irenaeus, the priest there, they have a single vocation to the Catholic priesthood. You go to Dominic Savio, you got priests there that have a double vocation to the priesthood and to become Salesian priests. Very important that you understand that. I have a religious habit. I live in community. I have vows. I have a founder. I have a charism. All those are signs of what is called a religious life. Then there are some that are called to the religious life, but they're not called to become priests, but rather brothers. Okay? Women are not called to the priesthood. That's a closed book, so don't think it's going to change, okay? But there are some women that are called. They're called to what? They're called to the religious life. They're called nuns, monjas in Spanish, okay? Monjas. When they become nuns, they don't receive a sacrament, they receive a sacramental. You hear me? So when they make their vows and they put their religious habit on, they are receiving a sacramental. This is a sacramental. Okay? This is a sacramental. A scapular, that's a sacramental. But ordination to the priesthood, that's a sacrament. There's a big difference. Now, young men that are called to be priests, and you might have a son, or maybe two sons, maybe they're called to be priests, if you don't have proper spiritual direction, they're probably never going to discover that. I had many priests as spiritual directors before arriving at the final decision, I'm called to the priesthood, I'm called to the religious life. But it was not an easy discernment. Look, a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of prayer, a lot of suffering to see where is God calling me. But if I did not have proper spiritual direction, I probably wouldn't be here today. You hear me? Okay, so that's another topic. It's called vocational issues. Okay, next. Once again, Father Thomas Dubé, biblical matters. Now, if you have spiritual direction, sooner or later, you should talk about the Bible a little bit, right? That's part of spiritual direction, is talking about the Bible. Your spiritual director should probably ask you, okay, do you like the Bible? Hopefully you're not going to say, what's the Bible, Father? Okay. You know, you should ask, okay, in the Bible, what is your favorite gospel? That's a good question. Okay, right now, what is your favorite gospel? The other day, I launched a question at the other priest. I said, okay, Father Larry, Father Craig, Father Dave, Father Antolini, what is your favorite biblical passage? I really wanted to make them think. That's a great question, isn't it? I ask you now, have you any spiritual direction? Okay, what's your favorite biblical question? That's a great question for spiritual direction. Great question. I never thought about that, Father. Or you read certain biblical passage, and I don't really seem to understand that passage. Can you shed light on it? Or I love the Bible. What would be the best translation of the Bible? But I love the Bible, but also I'd really like to have a good Bible commentary. This is part of spiritual direction. You talk to your spiritual director, you know, I was meditating upon that passage. Come to me, all of you are weary. You know, I was in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And I just started to unload and talk to the Lord about all my burdens. I did that for a full hour, and that was my best holy hour in 6 months. Now, what would a good trained spiritual director say on that? Okay, if you were Ignatian, I'd do a repetition, go back to that. If you're trained in Ignatian spirituality, God really seemed to speak to you, go back and revisit that. Because God gave you very special graces. But if you don't have a spiritual director, what? Well, it was really a nice experience. Well, I'll meditate upon that next year when it comes up in Mass. Maybe not very good spiritual direction. you know, you're losing a lot of graces because you don't know how to cope with that extraordinary consolation that came to you. This is spiritual direction. And this is growth in holiness. Amen? Okay, move on. Can I? Okay, then he says, ecclesial questions. Ecclesial questions, which means questions that refer to the church. Questions that refer to the church. And there are thousands of them. Why can't women become priests? Why can't priests get married? A lot of questions. Well, why is it that my friend was married and now she's with another man and she's married in the church? Doesn't seem to contradict what Jesus says. You know, you're married and that's it. It's a good question. The whole idea of what an annulment is. How does someone become a pope? The priesthood. The other day I heard on Catholic Relevant Radio there are three different levels of the priesthood. Father Matthew was talking about that. What does that mean? Three levels? What the heck is that? Huh? Deacon, priesthood, episcopacy. Ah, I didn't know that. These are ecclesial matters. What's the difference between a Protestant church and a Catholic church? Great question. And it's an interpersonal problem because one of the workers there goes to Calvary Chapel and I'm going to the Catholic Church and we're butting heads. See, spiritual direction encapsulates much more than that might meet the eye. Because it's the formation of the whole person. Therefore, ecclesial means questions about the church. And this is a one-liner of Fulton Sheen that all of you should memorize. Are you listening? Very few people leave the church for what the church teaches, but what they think the church teaches. Yes. You hear that? Did you understand it? I repeat. Very few people leave the church for what the church teaches, but what they think the church teaches, which is an erroneous vision of the church. The other day, Father Matthew was talking about why Ariana LaGrande left the Catholic Church. I mean, she's a Catholic, or he's brought up and raised as a Catholic. And erroneous things that the church rejects homosexuals. The church doesn't reject homosexuals. The church loves homosexuals, but the church cannot accept the practice of homosexuality. See, she thought, maybe hearing that the church rejects homosexuality because she's got a brother who's a homosexual. There's so much ignorance that myself, as a priest, preacher, and teacher, sometimes I don't know where to start in my preaching. Ignorance is so vast. Where do I start? So a good spiritual director is going to help you also to be better educated in your faith. And I'm a stickler on this, no? This is religious ignorance. The other day, Father Sweatland, who's got his program at 10 o'clock, started off with a really good analogy. Go ask your father program at 10 o'clock. The guy knows his stuff. And he started off with this story. There was a Texan woman who went on vacation to Florida. And she was at the Florida Keys. The Florida Keys is a very famous, very well-known beach. And this woman started to pick up mussels. Do you know what mussels are? Not these, but they're like little oysters, but they're usually smaller and they're black. California, you know what that is? Okay. Because on the East Coast, they're all over the place, no? They're little mussels. And the shells. So she was picking up the shells and some of the mussels, and she filled like 3 or 4 bags. All of a sudden, she turned around, and there was a policeman that said, "Lady, number one, you have $1,000 fine, and you're going to be thrown in jail for 3 weeks. And Monsignor Sweatland was put out, was saying this: even though you don't know the truth, you got to pay the consequences. And I like to apply this to the talk I gave on the radio on my Spanish program yesterday, and the talk I gave yesterday. What about humana vitae and contraception? Is anyone married here? You don't know humana vitae, contraception. That is negligence. It's like if you come up to me and you say, "Father, explain to me the Mass." What's the Mass? What type of priest am I? I don't even know what the Mass is. I'm a priest. You're a married person? You don't know what contraception is, why it's wrong? And you don't know what NFP is? What type of Catholic are you? That's pure negligence. And that's the point he was trying to make. Even though you don't know the truth, you're responsible for not knowing the truth. It's called a sin of omission. Now, I don't want to study that, because if I study that, I'm going to have to change, huh? I asked Father Larry today, "Father Larry, has anyone ever purposely decided not to go to talk to you?" He said, "Yes, very often." "Me too." You know why? Because if you come to me, I'm going to tell you something you don't want to change. So go somewhere else. I don't think that's honest. I think that's cowardice. I think that's bad faith. So the spiritual director is there to encourage you, but also sometimes to challenge you. To encourage. Encouragement is the most important. Encouragement. Like Barnabas. But if a spiritual director sees that you have fallen in, you're stagnating, you're not growing, he's got to put heart-burning coals underneath your feet. You start to dance, okay? Otherwise, you're never going to progress. He's got to challenge you. That's a good director. Encourage, but you're stagnating. Okay, he's got to kind of push you a little bit, okay? Do you remember when you learned how to swim the first time? Remember, maybe your older brother was there, and you're on the dock there? And your brother behind. And finally you got in the cold water, you got water in your nose, but finally you learn how to swim, huh? So the director has to challenge us. Because our nature, because of original sin, we tend to be lazy. Hello? We tend to be lazy. And if there's no one going to kind of be encouraging us, we're going to be stagnating, and we're going to be, you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Strong word. Revelation chapter 3. Encouragement, I would say 75%. But if we're stagnant, then the director has to try to say, okay, what's with this person? I've been directing this person for 3 years and she's declining rather than growing. There's something rotten in Denmark. It's a New York expression. Something rotten in Denmark. Something rotten in LA. Okay, so ecclesial questions. Also, what can surface are doctrinal questions. What does that mean, doctrinal questions? Who is God? Who is the Father? Who is the Son? Who is the Holy Spirit? What is the soul? Is the soul immortal? What happens after death? Do angels exist? What is original sin? These are called doctrinal. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the first part is doctrinal and is very large, very, very long, and it's more technical. But we have to have a solid doctrinal foundation with our Catholic faith. Can't be all feelings. Okay, another. Psychological wounds and scars. Psychological wounds and scars. How do you deal with that? If the psychological wounds are very serious, then a good spiritual director is going to try to help the person to get professional help. Spiritual director should not try to play the psychologist. That'd be wrong. Utilizing basic psychology, yes, but to presume that we're psychologists if we don't have a degree, then that's out of place. But there is a certain dovetailing between the psychological and the moral. What do I mean by that? Okay, there are psychological scars. But a lot of our scars come because of sin. And how are sins healed? Sins are healed by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the wounded healer. We read in the prophet Isaiah, by his wounds we are healed. And many of these wounds are healed by approaching Christ in the sacrament of confession. Well prepared, well expressed, with a firm purpose of amendment. I really believe a lot of our moral wounds can be healed if we learn the art of frequent, well-prepared confessions. And the danger here is you got so many priests available, we become jaded. Do you know what that means, to be jaded? No? Well, I'll tell you what to be. Jada means this, we take it for granted. Now, if you're like Father Damien, you could only go to confession getting on a boat, rowing out, okay? And you could go to confession once a year, rowing in a boat, I think our confessions would be 100 times better because of the lack of availability of the sacrament. Why is fool's gold less precious than real gold? Because it's so common, right? Therefore, precious elements like diamonds, are more precious than granite. New Hampshire is a granite state because granite is all over the place. So in the absence of the precious, we appreciate it all the more. And I'll remind yourself as well as myself, when you go to Mass as if it were the first, the last, and the only. Never take the Mass for granted. And never take confession for granted. That's the danger. It's so available, well, if I don't go to one Mass, I'll go to another. That's not an attitude that we want to cultivate. We want to cultivate an attitude of humble gratitude. Amen? Humble gratitude. Okay, next. This is Thomas Dubay. This is part of spiritual direction. It's the types of conscience. The types of conscience. This is a topic that fascinates me. We're all called to form our conscience. And I'd like to go through, you can maybe just write these down, the different types of consciences that are out there. Deformed. Lax. Scrupulous. Suppressed. Erroneous. Cauterized. Any doctors and nurses here? No people work in the medical profession here. Okay? Do you know what cauterized means? It's burnt, it's seared. Okay, then you have a healthy conscience. What about the conscience of the saints? The delicate conscience. We should be aiming at that. And some people have a conscience that are two or three of what I mentioned. Okay? Moral theologians say never act on a guilty conscience, okay? Or never act on an uncertain conscience. Well, this might be a sin, it might not be, hey, what do you do? Clarify it. Clarify it. So let me give you an example of an erroneous conscience. I'm sitting in the confessional. It's Easter week, getting ready for Divine Mercy Sunday. This person comes in and says, Father, you know, I want to make a good confession for Divine Mercy Sunday. And you know what's bothered my conscience most, I want to get it off my chest before Divine Mercy Sunday, is that Father, I miss Mass on Good Friday, okay? It's been bothering me the past week. I miss Mass on Good Friday, and I'm really ashamed. and I forgot to take my children to Mass on Good Friday. You're laughing, Martha, huh? You know, that's really common. Natalie, hear that? Very, very common. What would you do if you were a confessor? What would you do if you're a confessor? Okay, I would say, look. Okay, you believe that you had to go to Mass on Good Friday? Oh yes, Father, it's Good Friday. It's like Easter Sunday, the two most important days of the year. Hey, there's no Mass on Good Friday, but you committed a mortal sin. Why? Because you went against your conscience. Very important. Never forget that story. You went against your conscience. Listen to this. Father, I ate meat on Holy Thursday. I ate meat on Holy Thursday. I tell ladies, so did I, but you committed sin. I didn't, though. I ate meat, I had a pie, and I had a little bit of wine, too. Father, you're scandalizing me. Hey, Holy Thursday, that's the feast of the priests. Not a day of fasting. I thought it was a day of fasting. Sin. And maybe mortal sin. See, a lot of people are probably going to be condemned because of ignorance, no? See, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to help you to form your conscience. If you come to me as confessor, my conscience is bothering me for what I did. Sometimes the Father, is that a sin? Okay, now sometimes I'll say, well, do you think it was a sin? Yes, Father, it's a sin. Because you went against your conscience. Then I'll intervene and say, objectively, that was not a sin, but you really believed it was a sin, and you went against your conscience, sin. And that's one of my primary obligations as a confessor, is forming the conscience of the person. And trying to form my conscience better every week. I usually go to confession about every week. And it's a great way to form my conscience as a priest. Your people are so holy, go at least once a month, no? But frequent confession is a good way to really form the conscience. I want to have a very refined conscience, no? Very delicate conscience. Remember the example I gave you from Cardinal Newman? You're in your room, 12 noon, the shutters are closed, you're walking, you trip over the chair, and you open up the curtains a little bit, and you can see just a little bit of light, and you can see that there's a shadow of a desk, the bed there, and you open up a little bit more, and you can see there's a chair there. Open a little bit more, you can see the bedspread and the color on it and the design. Open a little bit more, I can even see the coffee spots on the desk. And you open up fully, you see the light beaming in from outside. You can even see the dust particles that are floating in the air. You ever notice that? So what I've done, I've given you the difference between a conscience that's totally in dark, then the delicate conscience. We should be aiming at that. We should be aiming for, maybe we're very far from it, but that should be our goal. Should be our goal. So this is part of spiritual direction. Is the formation of the conscience. And I love the idea of the suppressed conscience. How many people suppress their conscience? Can you think of any biblical examples? How about David when he committed adultery and killed Uriah? Did he suppress his conscience? And then Nathan came. How about, you remember the chase, Susanna, with those old geezers, those old dirty men, no? Do you remember the Bible says they failed, they suppressed their conscience, and they failed to look up to heaven. That's, I think, the longest reading you have in Lent, no? Daniel chapter 3, I think it is. No? This is part of spiritual direction. So if we have well-trained spiritual directors, we have a lot of lay people that are on the way, and a well-trained priest or spiritual director, it's huge. It's huge. But it has to be, you have to recognize what are the topics and what is the role of the spiritual director. This is the third hour I've been speaking about this, if you remember, if you come to my classes, no? Two classes ago, I spoke about what did Teresa of Avila say? What are the qualities? Okay, holiness, intelligence, and prudence, which means common sense. Teresa of Avila. Types of conscience. And Father Dubé brings up another topic. The problem of evil and suffering. This morning I went to McDonald's to get a free coffee. And there's a man that came up to me and said, Father, if God exists, this was today or yesterday. If God exists, why is there so much evil in the world? It's a good question. A lot of your friends that have questions, God questions, that's usually going to be one of the top three. God is so good. Why is there so much evil? Why do you have innocent children that die? How are you going to respond to that? St. Augustine gives us the example, the response rather. God gives us freedom. None of us are robots. We're free. If we do not have freedom, then we cannot love. Love is only possible when we have the possibility of not loving God by free choice of the will. We don't believe like the Calvinists in predetermination. We are free to choose between good and bad, between light and darkness. So the basic reason for evil in the world is the whole idea of free will. And then one more step, developing this topic a little bit more. God allows evil to bring greater good out of the evil. Look in your lives. Rewind the film. We all are responsible for evil in our lives. Right? And maybe a lot. God allowed that evil to bring greater good out of it. If you want the best example you have, Adam and Eve, they committed original sin. What do we say? The Easter Vigil Mass. Oh, happy fault. Oh, happy fault. Oh, happy fault of Adam and Eve that brought us our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If it were not for the sin of Adam and Eve, we would never have Jesus dying on the cross and rising from the dead. So the sin of Adam and Eve was a moral tragedy, a moral tsunami that has its repercussions until the end of the world. But because of that, God the Father decided to send His only begotten Son, born of the Virgin Mary, the Incarnation, which culminates in the Paschal Mystery, which is the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? These are all topics. Another topic Father Dubé mentions would be extraordinary phenomena. You know what that is? You don't, so I'll explain it. Extraordinary phenomena. Visions. Dreams. Locutions. Levitation. Bilocation. These are all called extraordinary religious phenomena, which good spiritual directions will try to dissuade the person, keep away from that. And if it really is God's will, God will reveal it, as we see in St. Faustina, what we read today. She tried to kind of push it away. The more she pushed it away, the more it came back. And then she's going to get these spiritual directors, Father Sapochko and Father Andres, they're going to sing, you know, you had this interior locution to have the picture painted. That wasn't a trick of the devil. That came from God. Now, how on earth would St. Faustina have got this beautiful picture painted if it were not for adequate spiritual direction? We wouldn't have that today. Look at this. Who's that? Hello? That is Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque. Who's speaking to her? Who? It's the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Those are, we have the three most important visions, apparitions in the world in this church. Our Lady Guadalupe, Juan Diego, Saint Faustina, Divine Mercy, and Saint Margaret Mary Alacoque. The nuns thought she was crazy. Who gave her credit? Saint Claude de la Colombière. Her spiritual director, his name was Saint Claude de la Colombière, who was one of the most trained spiritual directors in Europe back then. He was a Jesuit priest. For him, they would have thought that this nun, she is crazy. For not for Father Sapochko, Father Andras, we would never have the Divine Mercy book that I'm commenting upon. We would never have the Divine Mercy image if we're not for proper spiritual direction. Okay, Teresa of Avila. she did not have proper spiritual direction, we would not have the Carmelite order. We wouldn't have the way of perfection. We wouldn't have the interior castle. We wouldn't have her life. For not for John of the Cross, St. Peter Alcantara, St. Francis Borgia, and Jerome Gratian, four of the most able directors in Europe in the time of Teresa of Avila. So the whole thrust is this. For us to connect to God, we have to have a human intermediary. And that is called the spiritual director. So we really can't get through the divine mercy. We can't get through the diary of St. Faustina without addressing this topic. Very important topic. So let's pray that all of us will have proper spiritual direction to help us on the highway to holiness, to help us on the highway to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. O Lady Fatima, St. Joseph, Father Lanteri, St. Ignatius, all God's angels and saints. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless and have a good night. I think Eric has something to say.